Welcome to Positive Change with Dorina. Dorina provides her experience and opinions about various topics as interesting information for you to enjoy. She has a PhD in physiology, a degree in behavioral health counseling, a daily practice of yoga and meditation, and over 20 years' experience using alternative healing methods to help people get unstuck. She is not a medical doctor nor a therapist. If you have a medical condition or health issue, please consult your personal health care provider. Remember to be sensible and take care of yourself.
Welcome to Trauma Tuesday. Today we're going to talk about James French's trust technique and how it brings up trauma to be released and resolved. Last week I talked about my horses and my path of finding a training method that would work for me and the animals. We continue today with a little more details about the animals and my experience applying the trust technique with them. I talked a little about my training efforts during the first weeks I had the animals in episode 44, with a focus on Star Healing, the blonde mare. Rusty Moon, the mule, has a different personality. In general, he's more playful, easygoing, gregarious. However, he has a little neurotic side too. And he was initially obsessed with standing on the top of the 500-foot driveway watching the road below, which doesn't get a lot of activity because we're way out in the middle of nowhere. He would go ballistic if he didn't have access to his vantage point. This behavior worried me a great deal, and I thought it might be connected to something in his past. I was told that he totally went crazy and kicked the trailer and the mare next to him during unloading of another horse 3 hours south of me. This was during at the time when he was being transported from Texas. He had to be put in his own pen in the trailer to keep the other horses safe. The transport driver said he had been incredibly well behaved the whole trip, and he thought the mule was in love with the other horse that was leaving, and his reaction might have been based on that. And that really got me to worrying. Although it could have been he was just ready to get off the trailer. I was worried that this wasn't the right place for him. Him being able to stay with his friend was important to me. To make matters worse, the mare was completely hostile towards him. She owned everything. She got first access to the food and me. If he was eating, she would make him move. And then she'd make him move again. Then she'd make him move again. If I was grooming him, she would come push him around. I wasn't sure what to do. If I gave him attention and then I went to leave, she would bite at him when I left and push him around. Here he was on my property watching the road. And I wasn't sure if he was waiting for a trailer to deliver his friend or perhaps he was hoping to go back to Texas and get away from that mare. I wanted him to have the best living situation where he could be happy, and being with the bitchy mare didn't seem like much fun. I finally contacted the rescue to determine if he had left his heart in Texas. As it turned out, he did have a good buddy at the rescue. They would play together, in the field, and eat together side by side. Whoa, now with the mare, they had to be 10 feet apart to eat, because she kept pushing him away. You know, I was tempted to get his friend. That's one of those little things that hurts my little heart a little bit, to be torn away from your friends. But I wasn't sure if that was really the issue. And his friend was actually being groomed for greater things. The rescue assured me that he was just being protective of his territory. And the animal whisperer told me the same thing. He told me it's the mule's job to protect the herd. You know, I wasn't so sure. I wasn't convinced. Anyway, for better or worse, poor Rusty Moon was stuck with a grumpy mare. However, I had a sense that this dynamic would change as the mare became less tense and more secure. She seemed deeply dissatisfied and irritable. My plan was to change that. I was beginning to sense that this was as much a part of the journey as anything. You see, on some level, I'm deeply dissatisfied and irritable myself. My first challenge with the horse-mule dynamic was to stop reacting to her nastiness by judging her and getting angry at her. I had to let go of my sense of rightness. It just didn't seem fair. I wanted her to be nice and generous, and said she was asserting herself as the alpha mare. It was what it was, and my job was to bring a non-reactive presence to the situation. This took a little practice, since my tendency was to get pissed off at what she was doing. Wasn't much I could do about it, but be grumpy myself. You know, occasional visitors would label her as jealous of attention, and I resisted putting a label on her. Okay, I wasn't quite successful at that. I would shake her my head and I would call her a bitch. But the shake of my head was more like to shake the judgment out of my head than to write her off completely. I could curb any behavior that was in reaction to her being aggressive with the mule. However, I often left the farm feeling sad. This was my second challenge: how to be at peace with the unfairness of the situation, especially when it seemed like I should have some sort of control over it. I mean, they're in my property. I had a sense that the mule could be gregarious and playful, yet there was no outlet for such expression. Unless his intention when dashing in to get one bite of grain before she took over the meal was his way of expressing, "Yeah, I'm having fun." Maybe he liked the challenge. My process of searching for a good training method was based on my desire to change my relationship with the mare, to create more connection, and to create a shift in her underlying grumpiness. I thought that once Star was more at peace, the herd dynamic would shift, and then I could see what was really up with Rusty Moon. I learned from the experience of having someone ride the mare, you know, that I described in the last episode, that Rusty Moon could act out the emotions of Blondie. The trust technique gave me a rich process for exploring and resolving the underlying tensions in my herd. Part of the trust technique is being aware that we can pick up the emotions of our animals, and our animals can pick up our emotions. In addition, we can trigger each other to re-experience shared emotions. I had to ask myself, was Star angry? Or was she picking up some repressed anger from my childhood and expressing it? I sensed that she was indeed frustrated herself, but I wasn't quite sure if I was just picking up her emotions or if I still had deep frustration to release. You know, in the end, it didn't matter. The cure is the same. The present moment dissolves the frustration with peace. Whatever emotion arises, be it sadness or frustration, I only need to be present. So what is this trust technique? You know, the method is really quite simple. You can access the free part of James's course that explains it. You know, in brief, the human gets near the animal so that the animal is aware of them. The human then holds their body still and focuses on a point that allows them peripheral awareness of the animal. To fully engage the mind in the present, the human listens to a sound and feels the sensation of touch. Maybe that's the wind, maybe that's the clothes, maybe it's body parts on each other. All this is designed to stop thinking and keep the mind in the present. When the mind is fully in the present, peace arises. The animal is invited to be part of that peace and calm. And often it's so relieved to let down their stress and tension, they just conk out. I tried out the technique. After a few moments with Rusty, he would turn around and face his butt to me, clearly not interested in more. Maybe I wasn't really having an effect and he was just moving away. What Star would do is she would walk away from me and she'd go push Rusty. Once she went a good 50 feet to where Rusty was grazing and just made him move. It was so surprising. My peaceful present moment seemed to be bringing out aggression. Like, what's up with that? Now, James explained that not everyone knows they need to be peaceful, meaning my animals for sure, nor not everyone desires being peaceful. Imagine like you're kind of in a bad mood or you're whatever, and somebody who's all like happy and peaceful comes in. You kind of like, get away from me. But he also told me that my present moment can be so strong and intense that not every animal can handle it. You know, I heard him, but never mind. He guided me by saying, if your animal doesn't respond like you expect, it is never you, it's always the animal. I still figured I was doing it wrong or wasn't focused enough, that I needed to be more present. I didn't understand what he meant by pacing. until I'd watched more of the course, which I still haven't finished. And I had to keep testing to really be sure that I was stirring up this aggression in Star. But yep, every time I tried the present moment, she would walk away and push the mule. The crisis point came for me when I got to a section of the course about using the present moment to clear our own reactive emotions from previous trauma. The crisis point for me came when I got to the section of the course about using the present moment to clear our own reactive emotions from previous trauma. I started doing the exercises, and it brought up and intensified my own despair. There was a period in my life where I had left everything behind to go to the high desert to practice meditation and realize my condition experientially. I had been told that in order to be free and in eternal peace, one needed to experience ultimate reality, or how the world actually is, directly. Now, the key to that experience was being able to have a still mind that did not become distracted. This meditation state that I'm kind of describing without the distractions, where you're kind of in control of where your mind is going, is called shamatha. And meditation masters describe 9 levels of mental training leading up to that state. And I was stuck at level 4. Every day I would sit in meditation and I would not progress. Instead of asking what action might create more for me, I had concluded that meditation was the only way to get what I wanted. I was desperate to advance to the next level, and yet my mind would not be controlled. I finally broke and could not meditate for 6 months. Now, apparently, I had not completely resolved that trauma. Here I was being asked to be in the present moment, which is just like meditation. And I was told to hold that state to resolve any emotion that arises. Unfortunately, the emotion that was arising was frustration and despair from my experience of being an inadequate meditator. And I was being told that the cure for that was to meditate more. Ooh, I was stuck in a loop. I finally cried my way out of the loop. Over the period of a couple days, I was able to release the unbearable pain of not getting my heart's desire. Part of that pain was that it seemed like what I was doing was not working. However, I decided to believe that what I was doing was having a reaction. That's part of the place where I was actually kept testing and say, you know, I think I really am making her aggressive. And I began to entertain the possibility that my present moment was too intense for my animals. Not that I was deficient. I mean, after all, that's what James had told me. Now, James describes this possibility that our present moment is too intense, kind of like this. He says, you know, imagine a cup that represents the mind. At the bottom of the cup is a bunch of thick syrup. That might be frustration or some other unpleasant emotion. Now, this cup is the mind. So remember that the mind is made up of consciousness and subconscious or unconsciousness, right? And 10% is conscious and 90% subconscious. So let's say that bottom 90% is actually subconscious. So that unpleasant emotion has settled into the unconscious part of the mind. The top part of the cup is consciousness. Now, the trust technique fills the whole cup up with peace. And you can maybe think of that as clear water being poured into the cup. This disturbs the syrup and mixes with the clear water. So now you have some of that syrup, which is the unpleasant feeling, diluted into the conscious awareness. Now, the bad news is it's uncomfortable, and now you're consciously aware that there's this uncomfortable feeling. The good news is it's diluted and can be easily released. And once you're released, you're free of it. If you keep pouring that clear peace or clear consciousness or your present moment into the cup, you're going to dilute the syrup more and more and more and more, and it's going to overflow everything out of the cup. And you're getting rid of it. Now, I had evidence that I was bringing up unpleasantness for my animals to release. They were doing things like yawning and chewing and the things that supposedly itching and scratching and moving away and being aggressive. So they were probably releasing things. And I clung to that possibility rather than feeling defeat that this method would never work for me, because I was bringing up that sense that It was like my meditation practice before, where I was the one thing that I could do to help my horses now was never going to work for me. Anyway, once my crisis was over, I took James's advice and I sought to do the method during the part of the day when my animals were the least mentally active. He suggested I would get the best results then, for the least effort. And I was thinking it was probably going to be 4 a.m, but I wasn't quite ready to do that. But I know that about midday, my animals took to the woods to rest. I would catch them at that time and do the present moment. I wasn't really sure I was having an effect since they were already a little drowsy. And I kept progressing through the course, reading and listening to more videos of what James was teaching. And it seemed that James could get an animal to the healing zero state where they were completely conked out in just one session. However, sometimes this didn't happen. And yet he was able to proceed with training out behavioral problems and making animals much more calm and confident. I finally stumbled onto a section of the course where he talked about mindful regard, using the example of two horses at his rehabilitation center. He demonstrated one getting to the zero state on the second day that they arrived. But he also mentioned the second horse that had fear aggression took 19 days to finally fall into that zero state. I felt reassured. I had not been at this for 19 days yet, and I was willing to put at least a month in before getting worried about my progress. I was rewarded sooner than I imagined. I looked forward to catching the animals during their nap time. They didn't walk away, but I wasn't convinced I was having much more of an effect on them than if they were just napping with me not being there. Then I had a session where I got a sense that she was getting more relaxed than usual. I could kind of see her eyes closing a little bit, but unfortunately I had to end the session at the half-hour point. I had something else to do. Yet I got the sense that when I started up the next session, we wouldn't go completely back to hypermental activity, but instead she'd fall quickly into that quiet space we had already achieved. That was one thing about the technique. Whatever was achieved in one session carried over to the next session. The next day, I arrived in the morning to find the animals had been frightened by something. They refused to come up for their grain, being wary of the back fence where they usually hanged out. Now, this had happened once before, and that time I found a herd of deer had invaded the pasture and thought perhaps that was just too strange for them. This time I knew they were secure, but it is possible that a herd of deer passed the back fence and frightened them. You know, actually, I don't have any idea what was frightening them, but I know that they're secure and I know that they were scared. And I knew I had to go to a day-long class, so I just left them. However, the area where they take their afternoon nap is the area they were scared of, right? So my partner tells me they acted all out of sorts that day and didn't go up into the place where they usually rest. Now, they seemed calm when I arrived the next morning. And when I came back during nap time, the exhaustion from the day before had caught up with Star. She was actually already kind of lying or sitting down, a position I'd only seen her in twice before during her first week when she got sick, actually. So I joined her, and she quickly put her head down too, and then rolled over on her side and looked passed out. I'm not sure she was quite in zero state there, but I was really happy. It's like, whoa, I got her to lie down. You know, her eyes were still open and her ears suggested that she had not completely let go. She was still kind of alert. Now I continued with my present moment and she eventually got up, does what she does. She reorganized the mule, put him in a different spot. She stood there and after about 30 minutes, the mule laid down. He was about to conk out, but he shook himself awake. It's like, wow, he's even going out. And then Star laid back down. You know, 5 to 10 minutes later, she fell into zero state. She was all passed out, eyes twitching in rapid eye motion, REM, and her tongue was hanging out of her mouth, resting on the redwood bedding. It was kind of fun because when she woke up, she like looked a little startled or dazed, and she had this like redwood sticking out of her mouth and all over her face. So she remained in that state for like 5 minutes or so, and then she sat up really drowsily And she actually was up for a little while again, and then she went right back down and had one more downness before I ended the session. Well, that is where we are now. And I'm curious to see what else is possible, and wondering if this method really is enough to allow me to ride her. More will be revealed. If you're feeling stuck and would like a Change Anything Now session with me, find out more at changeanythingnow.com. Sessions to be aired on this podcast are a great benefit to everyone, and I do those sessions for free. How does it get better than that? Positive Change with Dorina. Program credits. Music is Cheery Monday by Kevin McLeod. Incompetech.com. Licensed under the Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. The voice intro was by Dylan McCloskey. You can find him on Fiverr.com. The podcast, copyright 2017, Dorina Road, all rights reserved.